This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 13th, 2014, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, by Father Joe Roberts.
Some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord's parables are intriguing stories. They stick in the mind, they stick in the memory. We can't forget them, and that's one of their good qualities. They are simple. They are about real life, at least real life as it was in the first century. They give us guidance, and they are, of course, the words of Jesus Christ. You can't alter them. They stand firm in their teaching. They catch our attention, they grip our imagination, and they move our feelings. And yet, they are devilishly hard to understand in many cases. And the parable we heard in the Gospel account today is an example of a parable which is easy to misunderstand. It's a troubling parable. It seems to tell us that some people are more privileged than others. And as if to reinforce this idea, our Lord quotes the prophecy of Isaiah, in which we hear that it is intentional that the mass of people do not understand the parable. It seems difficult to reconcile with our notions of the Lord as coming to seek and to save what is lost. It seems to run contrary to the Lord's intention that all men and women be saved. It seems contrary to the constant teaching of the Church of the universal call to holiness. Every man and woman equally is called to repentance and to eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's a firm principle in classical philology, if you can permit me to go a little bit afield, that a text should be interpreted, if you have a variation in a text, or if you have something difficult to understand, you should take the text at face value. We call this the principle of lectio difficilior. Use the more difficult reading. It's probably the correct one. And so it is clear that what our Lord is telling us in this parable is what he intends to tell us and should be understood at face value. And I will freely confess that for years I have preached on this parable giving a false interpretation. Take notes and tell the bishop. I used to like to tell people that the point of this parable is we need to take corrective action for the people who are represented by the seed that falls on stony ground. We are invited, so I thought, to repair that problem by putting in manure, by making good soil, to do what a good farmer would do. And the seed sown on the path, we need to make sure that the paths have established boundaries so that the seed will not be trodden underfoot. We are told that the seed sown among thorns, we need to instruct people to clear the way, to avoid distractions, to avoid letting the seed be choked by worldly anxiety and the lure of riches. This, of course, is good worldly advice, but it's not what our Lord is talking about. What our Lord is telling us is something very obvious. He's telling us the truth. The Word is the seed, and it takes root and yields a harvest only among some people. Let me repeat that. The Word is sown as seed and takes root and yields an abundant harvest only among some people. And this is God's decision. We think that it's not fair. We think that He could do better. But as often, we can't second-guess God. He's telling us nothing less than the truth. You are the ones who represent the seed sown on good ground. That's why you're here this morning. You are chosen by God and given the grace, and given the grace to accept the grace, to bear fruit. Astonishingly bountiful yields. In the ancient world, seed was sown broadcast. You just threw it out, and it fell where it would. And the average yield was very small, maybe 5 or 10%. But the Lord is talking about yields of 30-fold, of 50-fold, of 100-fold. And this is what happens in the lives of faithful Christians. You are expected to yield a harvest. But mind you, it's not your doing. It's the Lord's doing. From beginning to end, all is grace. The Lord sows the seed on good ground which He has prepared. The Lord gives us grace to open ourselves to the Word. The Lord gives the grace to us to accept the Word. And the Lord gives us the grace to bring it to fruition. Every step of the way is a gift of God. We collaborate, it's true. We are fellow workers with Christ, but even our workmanship is a gift from God. At some point, our free will makes a choice, but even that choice is assisted by grace. I hope some of you have read the wonderful novel by Georges Bernano, Diary of a Country Priest, in which, to make a long story short, as he lies dying, he says the words, "Everything is grace." This is true of your life in Christ. Everything is grace. Even your merits are grace. God gives the grace. We are just His instruments. Cooperating instruments, but even our cooperation is due to grace. So, I told one of the people in the sacristy that I was going to preach a Calvinistic homily, and in some sense I am, because God has predestined us to be His instruments. Those of you who were formerly Anglicans will remember a lovely article of religion in the 39 Articles on predestination, in which those clever 16th century Anglican theologians knew exactly how much to say and how much not to say, in which they say predestination is a very comfortable doctrine to those who receive God's election. It's not the whole story, of course. God wills that we be His fellow workers, and He calls us to cooperate with His grace. How to do that? Well, one way is what you're doing this morning. You've come to Mass, fulfilling one of the precepts of the Church. You're responding to God's grace expressed through the teachings of His Church. And in many other ways in your life, I trust, you are responding to God's grace to be open to His will, to be open to His commands, to be docile to His teachings. The church is a magnificent garden. It's a garden of Eden, in which fruit freely grows for our use. And God provides not only the fruit that sustains us, but he gives us the grace to bring forth more fruit, that the church may be superabundant with graces for salvation even beyond her own visible boundaries. What about those whom the Lord has not chosen? It's none of your business. God's will is a mystery. We pray that all men and women be saved, and our faith teaches us that it is God's will that all men come to the knowledge of God and salvation. How he does it, when he does it, and for whom he does it, is his concern, not ours. Now, being chosen by God, being his people, being the people of God in the body of Christ, brings great blessings, I need not tell you. One of the blessings is the assurance that we are loved particularly. As the psalm says, he hath not done this to any other nation. To them he has not revealed his will. He has revealed his will to us through the scriptures, through the magisterium of the church, through the life of the church. And he has blessed us in many ways to look beyond the boundaries of the church, to cooperate in spreading the word, that all men be given the opportunity of learning the truth. Isaiah's prophecy that they shall indeed hear and not understand, they shall look but never see, because their heart is gross, is just a matter-of-fact truth. You can find confirmation in this truth just by turning on your television set. When is the last time you've heard the truth of the gospel in most television programs? There you will see exhibited for all the fact that the world turns her back on God. But he has not turned his back on us. God has given us himself. And he calls us to be witnesses to him in our daily life and in our life of faith. Blessed are our eyes because they see. Blessed are our ears because they hear. Blessed be God who has given himself for us, who loves us, who nourishes us, and who calls us to be his peculiar people, a people of good works, to make him known, loved, and obeyed throughout the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.